सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादा सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखा हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो कंटिन्यूइंग I'll say a few words about myself. We should speak about Krishna. If I'm to speak of myself, must be in relationship with Krishna. You're all here today to honor me. That is fitting, that is required. In Shastra, in tradition, in culture. Seeing me here, you might think I'm a very special person. Well, everyone here is a very special person because you're chanting Hare Krishna. We find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the condition of this material world. Eta Brahmanda Bhari Ananta Jivagan Chaurashi Laka Jonite Kare Brahman. In this material world, there are unlimited number of living beings who transmigrate from body to body within 8,400,000 species, 84 lakh species. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to describe there as the stava and the jungam, the moving and the non-moving. Among the moving, the humans are the best species. And among the humans, there are various kinds who are not really civilized. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the definition that civilization begins with the following of Varnashram, but then most who follow Varnashram, they do so for the sake, they're karmanishta. They're interested in working and enjoying according to religious principles. Then, koti karmanishta madde ajnani shrishta, among millions of persons who are simply interested in materialistic life, someone who is interested in philosophical understanding, there may be one such person. And he goes on and on. Anyway, the conclusion is that the position of the devotee is best. Who is a Vaishnav? Jar mukhe ekba hoi Krishna. There's person who even chants Hare Krishna once is may be considered a Vaishnava. There are gradations of Vaishnavas. So you're all very special people. If we analyze, most of us, like most of the people in the world, come from very ordinary backgrounds. Some people come from exceptional backgrounds. Some people are exceptionally talented. About myself, like all of you, or most of you, I very ordinary background. So again, we have to point that it's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we're all able to come together here and chant Hare Krishna. I am accepting honor here, but even within our Krishna Consciousness Movement, I am in a somewhat prominent position, practically by default, because means, I don't know how to say it in Hindi, maybe you know how to say it. By default means Daiva Yog, by fate, Bhagya Kafal, something like that, not exactly. Means that those who, most of those who were the big leaders when Srila Prabhupada was present, the big generals, many of them retired and retreated prematurely, and then the foot soldiers had to take up the job, the order, Jawans, Hindi mein Jawan bolte, foot soldier. They had to take up the role of leadership. So I'm in this unusual situation of knowing myself and patently being what you might say just like anyone else, but I'm initiated by Srila Prabhupada, and as such it's my duty to accept, guide others and accept disciples, knowing well my limitations, my inadequacies. So again, I have to stress, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught us, to pray to the Paramahamsa Mahabhagavat, great Vaishnavas, Jogada bichare kichu nahi pai, tomara karuna sha. If you are to examine what is my qualification, you can make a list and you'll come to a sum total of zero. So, if there's any qualification, that is the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Generally, we speak about the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And we stress Srila Prabhupada. Why is that? Because he was the Vaishnava who came to the Western countries and preached Krishna consciousness. He was the Paramahamsa. There may have been so many great devotees, but he was the one who brought Krishna consciousness to the West. And therefore, we are particularly indebted to him. In India, we could speak of the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and now in ISKCON today also, we can speak of the mercy of the Vaishnavas, but he was the Vaishnava, the one and only, who brought the mercy of the Acharyas, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the Western world. So, you're all very kindly assembled here to honor myself, and I can understand, and I'm repeatedly saying so because I want all of you to understand that it is Srila Prabhupada's mercy that I'm in such a position, and I can only pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada that I be worthy of such respect. Worthy of such respect means, as Srila Prabhupada said, to be a guru is not a very difficult thing, although to me it often seems to be a very difficult thing. But in essence, we simply repeat what we have heard. Just as Srila Prabhupada repeated what he heard. It may not be exactly in the same format, but it's the same message. It may not. There may be some different perspective, because as time goes on, different challenges arise. For instance, there are different philosophical questions or moral questions which have arisen since Srila Prabhupada departed this world. Just one example, the example of cloning. Should humans be cloned? So we have to examine the teachings of scripture and try to understand this. And we have to deal with different people in different situations. So exact, it's not that we have to speak verbatim, but we have to present the message as we have heard it, according to our own realization. We ourselves are not trying to be clones of Srila Prabhupada, to be like him, to be exactly like him. That is called imitation. We should not imitate, but we should follow. Anukaran, anusharan. Anukaran, both words are similar, but one gives more the meaning of imitation. Anukaran means to imitate, and anusharan means to follow, to take shelter of. So we should follow Srila Prabhupada by understanding his teachings, absorbing them, living them. And by when I say Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that of course means the teachings of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, back to time immemorial, and live them ourselves. This morning I was saying that we have to be like a slave, but to be a slave of the Guru means to actually develop our own individual personality. This is real personality development. As long as we're conditioned by the three modes of material nature, then we act in various ways, according to the conditioning that the various types of conditioning that we acquire. And thus, Kabu Dev, Kabu Daita, Kabu Das, Prabhu, sometimes we're a demigod in heaven, sometimes we're a demon, sometimes we're in the situation of a servant, sometimes we are in the situation of being a master of others. Kabu Sharge, Kabu Marte, Norake Ba Kabu. Sometimes we're in the heaven, sometimes we're in the earthly planet, sometimes we're in the hellish world. So we think of ourselves in terms of the body and the conditioning that we have. But our real personality is as a servant of Krishna. So real personality development means to accept that we are the servant of Krishna, take guidance to uncover our real personality, and act on that platform. So we're not trying to imitate or become exactly clones or just some stereotype kind of following. But every one of us is an individual. That is one of the distinctive teachings of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada gave us. The very welcome news that we are all individuals eternally, as distinguished from the impersonalist teaching that our individuality is to be extinguished. Not at all, just the opposite. Our individuality is to be emphasized, but without the ahankar, without the sense of self-identity separate from Krishna, without the sense of promoting ourselves, then our real personality will shine through. If we try to promote ourselves, we simply become foolish. If we try to serve Krishna via the parampara, then we get strength from Krishna. But constitutionally, we are all weak. Of course, we pray to the Guru for strength. What is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Shakale Shanman Karite Shakati Dehonata Jata Jata. Please give me strength that I can offer honor to others fittingly. So we pray for strength. So you may think I'm sitting here, I'm very strong and talking big words. But constitutionally, I am not strong. I am a jiva. As we are all jivas. Krishna is strong. I am weak. Therefore, we want strength from Krishna so that we can conquer Maya, that strength received from Guru and Krishna. Therefore, we have to follow strictly the process given. This gives us strength. Our strength, our spiritual strength, as Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again and again and again, especially in his letters. A spiritual strength comes from following the process of bhakti yoga, the rules and regulations. Bhakti yoga, yoga means to link. So in our beginning stage, especially, we link by the process that Krishna gives us to link with him. Just as if we are fallen in a well and someone who is up on the land, who is not fallen, throws down a rope by which we can come up. But we have to hold the rope. If we hold the rope, then we can be pulled up. So Krishna gives us the rope of his instructions. We have to hold the rope and then we can be pulled up. So that's another analogy. But we are saved, we get strength by following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. Within our society, I'm known for following strictly and asking others to also follow strictly. Why is that? Because I am weak. You're also weak. By following, we get strength. Otherwise, we're all very weak. It may be that some others, they had a very pious past and they're very developed in Krishna consciousness, even from a beginning time, even from a previous life. They may be very special. There may be some personal associates of the Supreme Lord who have come to this world to deliver us. But my position is that I'm weak, but I know I can become strong by taking the mercy from Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara by following their instructions as given in Shastra. If I'm also afraid if I don't follow, then I'll be finished. Just like so many of people have come to this Krishna consciousness movement, they've followed for some time, and now we don't know where they are. Just as we were on Harinam Sankirtan, one man came out of his house, offered full dandavat, said Jai Prabhupada, and went back. So I suppose, or I may speculate, that in his youth he may have been living in one of our temples. There's so many, especially here in India and in the West also. So many people have joined our temples, spent some time there, and then again gone back. But the impression stays with them. A few years ago, I brought one copy of this book, Vanshidas Babaji, to the Bhajan Kuti. Now there's not a Bhajan Kuti, there's a marble temple. It's quite out of character with Vanshidas. So I went there to Navadip. And I thought I'd offer a copy there, knowing full well that whoever was there wouldn't read it in English, but I thought I'd give it to them anyway. So the Babaji sitting there, who was overseeing the temple, he told us that, yes, I was also in ISKCON once. So many devotees, of course, he's still in Krishna consciousness, he's living in Navadvip Dham, he's serving Bhaktisiddhas Babaji. So everyone who comes, they are benefited, even if they don't stay. But I would like to stay in this life and life after life in the service of Srila Prabhupada. I don't want to be like one god brother I know who lived in Mayapur for some years. He was from America. Then he came and he joined us in Bangladesh for some time. And then he said, well, I think I've done enough Krishna consciousness for this lifetime. And last heard of many years ago, living in New York City, living like, well, I was going to say like anyone else in New York City, but that's a bit difficult to define. But anyway, not living a devotional life. So we want to remain in Krishna consciousness. We want to go up to the spiritual world. But the first thing we should do to go up to the spiritual world is stay in Krishna consciousness. Go on with this process, day after day, year after year. So this process, Bhakti Yoga, is a process which by following, we get strength. By associating with devotees, we get strength. Associating with devotees means in the service, in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So let us stick to this process that will give us strength. I like to rise early and encourage others to rise early every day, go to Mangal Arati, chant our rounds. This gives us strength. Otherwise we're weak. If we don't do, then we become weak. If we do, then we feel very happy. Every morning to rise, chant the holy names of Krishna. We sung that song this morning, Bhaktivinod Thakur, how he feels very happy in devotional service. Bhakti Vinod Krishna Bhajane Anukul Pai Jaha. He says that whatever he finds in that is conducive for Krishna consciousness. Pratidi Bhashe Parama Shuke Shikara Koreetaha. That every day I accept these processes. So every day, rise early, chant the holy names, discuss Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. This will keep us steady and fixed and strong. And also, I know that if I don't go, then others may think, well, our guru doesn't go, so we don't. I also don't need to go. So I need to go, you need to go. You need to rise early. Of course, many of you are living in your houses, doing jobs and this and that. But as much as possible, you please also rise early. If I don't follow strictly, then others who look to me for guidance, they'll be misguided. They'll think that it's not necessary to follow all these rules. But it is necessary. That's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized that so much. So I'm as a guru in Srila Prabhupada's service, I'm supposed to train others. So training begins with the most basic things. There are so many high points of discussion, the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but let's begin with the beginning and stick to that. Stick to that means we may go very high, but the basic processes we should continue to follow. This training, if I can give this, that will be the basis by which you can develop. It's a simple thing. Rise early, chant the holy names, discuss Gita and Bhagavatam, take only Krishna Prasadam, these simple processes. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say that Krishna consciousness is so simple you might miss it. You might think, well, that's just very simple, so we don't have to bother with it. But yes, it's very simple, but we should be very concerned to follow all these simple processes, knowing that they do make a distinct difference. That if we stick to this process, we might think that, well, we do it every day and we might think it becomes stereotyped, but no, we have to stick to it. And actually, it shouldn't become stereotyped. Pratidivoshe paramashuke shikara karyetaha. The Krishna consciousness is blissful. It's not just something that we tell others. But we can experience that also. How joyful a life it is in Krishna consciousness. The first time I came to one of Srila Prabhupada's temples, that was Bhaktivedanta Manor near London, and I stayed overnight by Krishna's arrangement. I didn't plan to, but various factors forced me to stay there overnight. And I was astonished that at 4:30 in the morning, which was a time which I was not used to being awakened, the devotees are singing and dancing very happily for the pleasure of God. So I could understand just by this that this is something special. Where do we find this? That people actually, it's very cold. It was snowing outside, which is why I had to stay overnight. So the joyfulness of, and to understand that every day they do this, they're so enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness that they rise early every morning and they're very happily dancing and singing for the pleasure of Krishna. So that I thought, I want to live my life like this also. So let us go on with our life, throughout life. Krishna consciousness is blissful. Strict, yes. Blissful, yes. The two go together. You can't have the half chicken. The half chicken idea. Ardha kukuti nyai. That if we think, of course we don't keep chickens, but some people do. And if a man thinks that, well, I like the back half of the chicken that gives an egg, but I don't like the front half which I have to pay money to feed, so let's just chop the chicken in half and keep the back half. But it doesn't work. If we follow strictly, then by doing that, that means to dedicate our life in the service of Krishna. If we do that, then the happiness of Krishna consciousness will come. So it's not the International Society for Rules and Regulations. It is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, in which the rules and regulations, they keep us on the right track so that our consciousness can be directed toward Krishna. The rules are there: rise early, chant the holy names. That fosters consciousness of Krishna. These are the do's and do nots, vidhi nisheda. So the do nots, do not associate with non-devotees, do not eat food that is offered to Krishna. These will contaminate our consciousness so that thinking of Krishna consciousness, will be impeded. So, strict, yes, we should be strict, but not simply for the sake of being strict, for the pleasure of Krishna. If we do everything, tadarte kila cheshta, krishnarte kila cheshta, everything, we should remember this motto. The motto of our life is that everything we do should simply be for the pleasure of Krishna. And because Krishna is all blissful, then our own self-interest is served. What is our own self-interest? Ultimately, everyone wants to be happy. It's a simple thing. to understand. We want to be happy. So how can we be happy? We don't know how to be happy. We're trying to be happy in so many different ways. Sometimes we're in the body of a cat and we meow to try and be happy. Sometimes we're in the body of a dog and we root, root, root to try to be happy. In so many ways we're trying to be happy. This proper understanding is we're servants of Krishna. So if we serve Krishna, Krishna is Ananda Chinmaya Rasamai. He is full of the happiness, of spiritual happiness, spiritual, blissful exchanges. He is Achintya Guna Swarupam. His very form is of inconceivable transcendental quality. So if we link up with Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga, then definitely we become happy. But we can't be happy, we can't have it both ways. We can't think, let me have material enjoyment and spiritual enjoyment also. Doesn't work. We have to fully surrender to Krishna. So, as I was saying, we're all individuals. I am designated as a guru within ISKCON, and I'm trying to fulfill that service. It's not, of course, guru, it's not an upadhi, a designation. Sannyasi is a designation. The jiva by constitution is not a sannyasi or a brahmana. Jiva by constitution is a Vaishnava and is a servant, but in the discharge of service, a Vaishnava may also take the role of a guru, so I'm trying to do that. And being individual, although what I say, what I instruct to you, that should be the same as all other gurus. Guru is one. That saying is, as Srila Prabhupada elaborated on this point in his essay, which he offered in 1936 as a Vyasa Puja offering to his guru. So he elaborated on the point that guru is one. What is the meaning of this? Well, one of the gurus in our movement, some of his disciples, they came across a photograph of him when he was 1 year old, and they circulated this photo with the caption, "Guru is one." That's not the meaning of guru is one. Means that all those who are actually guru, that was Kirtanananda. You know that? Now you know. ISKCON history. The meaning of guru is one is that if I am actually a guru, or if anyone is actually a guru, what they say should be the same as what every bona fide guru says. If we find, we have in our parampara, Krishna, he's the original guru. Krishnam vande jagat guru. He's the original, he's the guru, he's the actually the jagat guru, guru of the whole universe. Shankaracharya prayed like this. Krishnam vande jagat gurum, Krishna hoite chaturmukha, hoi Krishna shivanmukha, Brahma, Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma spoke to Narad, Narad spoke to Vyas, so many disciples, Narad also, so many disciples, among whom in this Kali Yuga, on this planet, Madhvacharya is prominent. In the Sampradaya of Madhvacharya emerged the Gaudiya line, which was founded, or the sprout of that was Madhavendra Puri, then Ishvara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also Jagadguru, also known as Jagadguru, Gaura Mahaprabhu. Then from him also came so many, Rup Raghunath, Sanatan, Swarup Damodar. These are the prominent gurus. And the whole line. And there may be so many gurus who's not every guru writes an autobiography or has someone write a biography of them. There's maybe so many gurus who have performed so many activities, and nowadays they're hardly known. In the Sri Rasik Mangal, the narration of Rasikananda Dev, it's described some devotees are named there about whom it said they had thousands of disciples, and nothing else is known of them at the present time. So there have been many thousands of gurus. Every one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, they're all gurus, not all initiated. But who is a guru? His teaching should match up with those of the previous gurus. That is the test. Just like gold is tested on a special stone. There's a gold testing stone. And those who are jewelers, by rubbing the gold on the stone, they can understand, is it real gold or is it not? Because real gold, whether it's in a gold bar or a gold coin or a gold necklace, whatever form it's in, it's basically the same. Its constitution is the same. So, in the same way, persons may come in different times and places and speak the message of Shastra in a manner. They may present it in somewhat different ways, but the message has to be the same. It's the test. What is the test? Vaishnava must be a guru. Vaishnava Svapacha Guru. That's a... Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noije krishna tattva veta she guruha. Whatever one's social position may be, if one knows the science of Krishna, that person is qualified to be a guru. So it's the same message must be there. Of course, I mentioned Madhvacharya because we claim allegiance with the sampradaya of Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya also visited this Kanchipuram. But this city in the Vaishnava line is clearly more linked with the sampradaya of Sri Ramanujacharya. So there are distinct doctrinal differences between Ramanuja and Madhva, who came later. And for that matter, there are distinct doctrinal differences between the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and the Madhva Sampradaya. Though we are claiming affiliation, but we are Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So there are differences. But the basic teaching is the same. That Vishnu Sarvottama, Madhvacharya. He said that Vishnu is above all, and that Vishnu is supreme, we are his servants. This basic point is there. So all acharyas, who is a guru, must say this. So the guru is one, although there may be some differences in teaching, a different philosophical approach, the different great, and not that everyone can make up their own philosophy, but the philosophical approach that is given by Madhvacharya is distinct in certain important ways from that of Ramanujacharya, but the same point is there. We have to accept Vishnu as supreme. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized worship of Krishna. So Guru is one. That's the point. Guru is one, but there may be differences in approach. And also, because every person is an individual, then who is the Guru? Who is the personality? The specific personality in whom we take shelter, his personality will be different from that even of his own godbrothers. So there will be differences in their own appreciation of Krishna. Krishna is unlimited and he reciprocates with an unlimited number of jivas who appreciate him in various ways. So who is the individual personality? Who is that guru? Guru is not just a principle, not just a philosophical principle, but is a specific person. Although guru is one, but there is variety in oneness. This is specifically emphasized by Ramanujacharya, Vishishtadvaita. There is there are specialties within the oneness. Qualified. Oneness, but qualified. So, the teachings of all the gurus should be the same. If we find within ISKCON, then who are gurus? Those who are followers of Srila Prabhupada. But they're not all the same. Not everyone is the same. So, who am I? As a common courtesy, when people meet each other, they say, "How are you?" I usually reply to this question that how am I, more important is who am I? Who are we? We can't even begin to understand how we are until we understand who we are. The question, how are you, is generally directed to the body, but I'm not the body. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So who am I specifically? What do I want to communicate to you in my service to Srila Prabhupada? Well, some of that I already said. The basic teachings that Srila Prabhupada gave us to daily rise early, chant the holy names, do's and do nots of Krishna consciousness. So, among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, I, like every one of them, like every one of you, is an individual. So my individuality as a guru within the service of Srila Prabhupada means that guru is one. We all have to teach the same message. All those who are gurus, they all have to teach the same message. You are also gurus. Every Vaishnava is a guru. There are different roles that the gurus take. So I'm officially, formally a guru in the sense of giving initiation and giving teaching and dikkakale bhaktakare atashamapan, the time of initiation, one offers oneself completely in the service of Krishna, that is via the medium of a guru, and I'm specifically accepting that role. So all the gurus have to teach the same thing, but still they're individual and they may emphasize some points more than others. So myself, I'm known to be somewhat strict, although in my among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, although from what I understand from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which are there for everyone, I don't really think I'm very strict. I think I'm just emphasizing the basic things that Srila Prabhupada emphasized. When there are certain options on how to practice Krishna consciousness, I would generally take the more, what we might say, conservative side or stricter side. For instance, we could have had a rock and roll bhajan band at this program, but we don't. We may think, well, if there was a rock and roll bhajan band, then so many people would be attracted. Yeah, that's true. But I'd rather be conservative, because Srila Prabhupada, where there was a rock and roll bhajan band, he wrote a letter, it's there, recorded, saying that we are simple Hari Kirtan men. We only require kartals and mradangas. That was good enough for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so it should be good enough for us. So we may say, yes, for the sake of preaching, we can do this and that. But I'd rather be conservative, means that I'm afraid, just like I'm afraid, if I don't follow strictly the process of Krishna consciousness, then I may fall away, as so many devotees who were in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, they fell away. So that is our armor, our kavach, that protects us to follow the process strictly. So I'm afraid that if we bring in various innovations, speculations, that we may lose the point altogether. So it's not that various innovations cannot be there, but I would rather be conservative, because if we bring in more and more innovations, we may forget, in the name of preaching, we may forget what the original thing is. So while everyone else or most others are finding out various different ways to do things, someone should maintain the actual thing or the original thing, so that if we say we're introducing this and that just to bring people to Krishna consciousness in the original way, well, someone should preserve the original way, otherwise it just gets lost or forgotten. And we think that something like electric guitars, 12-string guitars, bass guitars, and then we get into a whole guitar culture. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's culture is mridanga kartal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur likes that. Mridanga bada shunite ma obashara shada jache. We just sung that this morning, to hear the sound of the mridanga. I'm always eager for such an opportunity. So, yeah, I may be more strict, which may be more difficult for you in some ways. But the result is there, that, as I said, following strictly and being blissful in Krishna consciousness, they're not separate. Both, they come together. In the beginning, we have to follow strictly, and then we become blissful. And those who are on the platform of bliss, just like rising early and chanting Hare Krishna, those who are actually on the platform of bliss, they automatically rise early. For them, it's not being strict. It's just what they like to do. So there may be various options or opinions on how to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, but some things are very clear. We should live according to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. He worked very hard to compose so many books, and we should take advantage of the knowledge in those books by reading them. We should distribute them. We should live according to them. In a Srimad Bhagavatam class that Srila Prabhupada gave in Sri Vrindavan Dham in 1976, in which I was present, Srila Prabhupada made the statement, we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. And that struck me, that short sentence, the import of that. Make it our life means we should regularly read Tatshrinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We should very carefully recite it. And we should apply our intelligence to understand what are the teachings therein. And Srila Prabhupada, by his Bhaktivedanta purports, has illumined and made clear the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should make it our life. It means we should study, we should apply our intelligence, we should make our intelligence should be guided by the intelligence of Vyasadeva, who has given us this Srimad Bhagavatam. We should distribute this to others. We should live according to it. So we should distribute. It's very clear, as Srila Prabhupada, he put much emphasis on his books. So we should study his books, live according to his books, distribute these books. Some other points that I want to emphasize, like I say, different gurus in our movement, as different individual servants of Srila Prabhupada may emphasize at different points. First, we should emphasize that which Srila Prabhupada emphasized. As servants within Srila Prabhupada's mission, we should first know what he emphasized, and we ourselves should emphasize that. Srila Prabhupada very much emphasized also that how people can live in Krishna consciousness in a practical way. This modern so-called civilization is not very civil and is increasingly becoming less and less civil. So Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to establish rural communities in which people can have simple living and high thinking, and establishing Varnashram. So this is a major part of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Here in India, still people have many people have a feeling for Krishna consciousness because that old culture is going on. That culture, as persons of my age can see, is literally vanishing before our eyes. In the West, there's no idea of this culture, or if there is, that's because Srila Prabhupada brought it. People in the modern world, both West and East, are simply working if they can get a job. It's very difficult, even if they want to be Krishna conscious, to take up Krishna consciousness fully, because they don't have the time and they're in so much anxiety on how to get money, and they're misled by this civilization into thinking that getting money and spending it in various ways is life. So to give people the opportunity in which they can live peacefully and happily and a saintly life. These farm communities with Varnashram Dharma have to be set up. Varnashram, that means living in a different culture. Of course, there are so many farmers all over the world, but simply being a farmer or living in the country doesn't make one saintly. So we have to introduce this Vaishnava culture. So I'm very interested, personally, I'm talking about myself, in the service of Srila Prabhupada. One point that I very much want to emphasize is this Vaishnava culture, or which we can call the India or the best of Indian culture. I'm telling this to you because you are my disciples, so you should know what I want to teach, what I want to impart to you. Basically, I want to impart to you what Srila Prabhupada has imparted to you. Srila Prabhupada imparted to us the teachings of all the previous acharyas. What I specifically, within Srila Prabhupada's service, want to impart to you, I'm now talking about that. Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring about a revolution, peaceful revolution, in human society, seeing that human society is so much misled, forgetting Krishna, people have gone astray. So beginning of that revolution is to understand that this whole modern society, which is based on, to paraphrase, the Bible, it was understood even in the times, at least of the translation of the King James Bible, eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. This is the motto of materialistic civilization, and that has become intense with technology, industrialization, and finding out more and more means to waste our lives without pursuing the real spiritual purpose of life, which is to understand not how are you means how are you enjoying sense gratification, but who are you, how are you developing your Krishna consciousness. In Bengali Vaishnava culture, instead of saying how are you, kemonacha, it is appropriate to say, apni ki bhajane kushale achen. Are you going on well? Is everything going nicely in your cultivation of Krishna consciousness? So a major point, which if we read Srila Prabhupada's books, which I must always emphasize to you to read his books, we will find that Srila Prabhupada forcefully points out that this modern civilization is, in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vayasam Tirtha. It is comparable to a pilgrimage place for crows. Crows, they like to go where the garbage is thrown out. So this modern civilization is interested in the lowest levels of human consciousness. Instead of elevating the consciousness, it's degrading the consciousness. So a major part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, which I, as your guru, must inform you and guide you in, is that this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for making a revolution in the sinful lives of a misguided population, to help people to understand that this eat, sleep, drink, merry, be merry and enjoy way of life is not at all conducive to our real self-interest, and to bring about a revolution which begins with distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. Those of you who do study Srila Prabhupada's books will realize that I'm often quoting Srila Prabhupada verbatim here, just like the revolution in the sinful lives of a misguided population is from Srila Prabhupada's translation of the verse that begins Tadbhag Visargo Janataga Viplavaha. Then distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. This again is from a translation of the second verse of Srimad Bhagavata. So we find that Srila Prabhupada was always distinguishing reality from illusion, because we're in illusion of thinking that I'm not the servant of Krishna. So that what is real and what is unreal, sat and asat, this should be understood. So that is a major service of the Guru. We say Sadguru. Guru must be sat. Anyone who is asat, or on the platform of illusion, they cannot be a guru. Sat means that which is real, true, eternal, proper, good, and asat is just the opposite. So Sadguru must distinguish by speaking and teaching, must make it clear in the minds of his disciples what is proper, what is not proper, what is real, what is illusory, what is on the platform of eternality, what is on the platform of temporality. That must be distinguished. One approaches the guru to understand what is reality, what is illusion. We're all in illusion, so the guru's duty is to do that. So I should do that. Every guru should do that. I try to point this out in various ways by establishing siddhanta. Siddhanta means the mature conclusion of revealed knowledge. That means knowledge from scripture, from shastra. What is the siddhanta? What is the proper understanding? The basic proper understanding is Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We are all eternal servants of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in various issues that arise, we have to understand the Siddhanta. In other words, what is the proper understanding of any situation, how we should understand it in a manner that is in line with the teachings of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. We should apply the Shastra Chakshu, the Jnana Chakshu, the eye of scripture, the eye of knowledge, to understand every situation. As we read this verse this morning, the Guru is Jnana Deepa Prada. He is the bestower of the illumination that comes from knowledge. In other words, we should be able to see clearly by seeing through the eye of Shastra. That eye or that illumination is given by the Guru, then we should understand clearly in each situation what is proper, what is improper. So that is a function of every Guru, which I am taking seriously, and I want you all to take it seriously, to understand clearly what is sat and what is asat, and to act on the platform of sat and thereby become a sadhu. Otherwise one remains a murha, a foolish and ignorant person. If we don't understand all these points, then we simply remain foolish and ignorant. So to understand Siddhanta means that we must, following in the footsteps of all the great acharyas, we must oppose Mayavad, the misconceived understanding of spiritual knowledge, that we are all, no we're not, everything is one. This is the idea, all is one and one is all. Well, in one sense that's true. We're all one in the sense that we all have the same basic characteristic of being eternal servants of Krishna. But we're all individuals. Mayavad wants to destroy individuality. It is the spiritual suicide program. Yeah. So we should be opposed to that. Other points, I'm just going through quickly here for more understanding of all these points. Please hear my lectures, because the lectures, and I variously cover all these points in more detail. So the first duty of a disciple is to hear from the Guru. So you should hear Srila Prabhupada, you should also hear me. You have more work. You have more work than I do. I don't have to hear my own lectures. Well, I do when I give them. But this, again, in each generation, we have to bring home the point or make the point, the important points. So, what I also stand for as an individual, accepting the role of Guru in Srila Prabhupada's service, standards, whatever standards have been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, we should uphold that, we should not dilute them. There are rules and regulations which translate into standards, which are meant for our uplift, and if we do not follow them, then instead of our uplift, we are liable to degrade. So standards should be followed. Standards of behavior, standards of deity worship, standards of initiation. Not that willy-nilly everyone is just initiated. Brahminical initiation, I'm quite strict on that because, well, actually Srila Prabhupada himself said that we should be lenient in giving first initiation, but strict in giving Brahminical initiation. People should actually come to the standard. I spoke on this many times, not, as Srila Prabhupada said, not that everyone has to be Brahminically initiated. Those who have developed certain qualities which are suitable for them to be teachers of others. If they're not teachers of others, that's the main function of a brahmana, then of course they may be also pujari brahmanas. Then there's no need or reason to offer that brahminical initiation. So, Guru in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to teach anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. He has to guide others toward unmixed devotional service, pure devotional service. We can follow the base, many of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, and even though doing so, make very little actual spiritual advancement. We can chant Hare Krishna, we can worship the deity, offer food to Krishna, and follow many of the things that Srila Prabhupada said, but not actually make advancement unless we are fixed in the goal of becoming a pure devotee, free from all material desires, or even spiritual desires that are not Krishna conscious. In other words, material desires means karma, and spiritual desire that is not in Krishna conscious, that is sometimes classified as jnana, in the sense of thinking that our ultimate spiritual goal is attained by knowledge of oneness. So our aim is not simply to preach Krishna consciousness, but that should be anyabhilashita shunya bhakti, preaching of pure devotional service. We could, by lowering standards and trying to induce people to come to chant Hare Krishna by offering various material or quasi-spiritual incentives, we could bring many people, but first we should see quantity we want many people to come, but we should uphold the quality also. Otherwise, we are in the danger of spreading widely and thinly. That means bringing many people, but they don't have a clear idea of what pure devotional service is. And then we come to the position of the upper sampradayas in Bengal, who have actually, they like to chant Hare Krishna, many of them, but they don't like to follow even the basic rules and regulations for attaining pure devotional service. So we have to keep it very clear that pure devotional service is our aim, and pure devotional service is attained by following the process of devotional service as given by Srila Prabhupada, as given by Rupa Goswami. We understand that we can't all attain this immediately, so therefore we have to go through the gradual process. We're not castigating anyone for not being immediately on the platform, free from material desire. But if one is to be initiated, then one should at least follow the principles which are made for our purification, so that we can advance on the path of devotional service. There's not very much meaning to accepting initiation if one is not serious about the process of Krishna consciousness. Anyone can sing and dance. Everyone is welcome to do so, to come and join us. But initiation means bhakta kare atha samarpan. We're very serious about the surrendering process of Krishna consciousness. So this is what I want to communicate to all of you. And actually, I feel that every guru, that these are the basic principles of every guru. It shouldn't be my specialty. We should teach everyone to be serious. We understand everyone can't immediately come to the highest platform, but we should try for that very seriously. Tivrata. There should be intensity in devotional service. If we understand that we have got this opportunity in this human form of life to get free from the cycle of birth and death, then we should be very serious. That is the beginning understanding. And above that, the opportunity to attain pure devotional service, we should take it very seriously. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is well known in Bengal for being Prema Avatar, the avatar of the Lord who is very widely and freely, Mahavadanya avatar, very widely and freely distributed, Prem, Krishna Prem, but his method of doing so is described, or what the bhakti that he distributed, Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yoga. So that is devotional service in which non-attachment to this world, or detachment from this world, and spiritual knowledge, they are prominent. So this I want to emphasize, that we should cultivate non-attachment from this world. That's for everyone. It's not only for brahmacharis and sannyasis, for householders also, in Krishna consciousness. It's not that they have to, we don't say that anyone has to live an extremely austere or difficult life, especially in family life. One can live comfortably, but don't unnecessarily try to amass so many items for enjoyment and become diverted from the real goal of life, which is Krishna consciousness. We should practice seriously in whatever status of life that we are in. So the essence of my message, myself as an individual, is the essence of what every follower of Srila Prabhupada must emphasize. As I said this morning, Srila Prabhupada Anugatya, this important term, is there following Srila Prabhupada. That term, I said it's important in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, even though it only appears maybe twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but its import is very important. What is that verse? Gopi anagatya bina aisharja gane bhajile ho napai brajendra nandana. This states that even if one worships Krishna, but does so in a mood of awe and reverence without following the gopis, then he doesn't attain Krishna in Vrindavan. So that we can understand this is an important term in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where our aim is to worship Krishna in Vrindavan, but we shall begin our process of anugata, of following, by following Srila Prabhupada, who will guide us. So following means a service attitude. Krishna consciousness, the essence of that is a service attitude, that we want to serve Krishna. How to serve Krishna? Ahaitukiya pratihata. Our whole aim is to serve. This is tivra bhakti. Intense bhakti means ahaitukiya pratihata. That means without any personal motive and continuously, or at least continually. Continuously means non-stop, and continually means again and again, repeatedly. So because of our circumstances, we may not be able to directly serve Krishna non-stop, but that should be our aim, to do so. So this service attitude is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Unmotivated devotional service. Here we're having very blissful kirtans. These camps where devotees come together. Here in India, we organize such camps usually 3 times a year. This is usually the largest gathering, the one in the winter, the Vyasa Puja, and other parts of the world also, we have smaller gatherings like this and annually in Croatia and Russia. We want to do in other places also. So it's very blissful. Devotees come together, they feel surcharged. Why is that? Where does the bliss in Krishna consciousness come from? From the service attitude. Otherwise, it's jumping up and down that may make us feel some exercise for the body, we may feel some happiness in that. But the happiness in Krishna consciousness is not from some exercise of the body, but because the chanting of Hare Krishna means to petition Krishna to be engaged in his service. So the real chanting of Hare Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada says, the test of one's chanting is one's sincere desire to serve Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna is also service, and there are various ways to serve Krishna, just like organizing this festival. There are many things that have to be done that many other people who organize Pandal programs in India, they do. This whole setup, it wasn't made just for us to come here. This kind of program is set up. There may be various political groups or social groups or religious groups that for which this Pandal is set up, probably on the same ground in here. But we are feeling very happy here. We're experiencing happiness that is from the association of devotees who are sincere to serve Krishna, for instance, by making this pandal or making the arrangements for this program. So there may be various services that we do for Krishna. Setting up a pandal program may be done by a materialist, but when a devotee does it, he does it selflessly for the service of Krishna. And therefore we feel very blissful. This sthapati, or architect, for the upcoming temple in Salem. After Gokul Chandra Prabhu, who is overseeing that project, had spent 3 days with the architect could understand that this person is building this temple not for any personal motive, not for any social group. It's not the temple of a particular caste. He's doing it only for the service of Krishna. It is selfless service to Krishna, and therefore the being inspired by that, the architect voluntarily waived his fees. He said, "I will do this. As you are doing it as a service to Krishna, I shall also do it as a service to Krishna." Which means a few crores of rupees, actually, because usually they take a certain percentage. And he has to do a lot of work. So that service attitude to Krishna, that is infectious. Srila Prabhupada used this term in a positive way, infectious. I'm just trying to think of a standard English word. It can be used in a positive way also. So if I have to communicate something to you, what is the essence? I've given several points. Following Srila Prabhupada, selfless service attitude. That is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Bishoy charya shayroshe mojya mukhe bolo harihari. Giving up material desires, aspirations for material enjoyment, become absorbed in Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. So I quoted this morning, Srila Prabhupada said, "What makes me happy? If you chant Hare Krishna." So I'll also be very happy if you chant Hare Krishna. I'll be very happy to chant Hare Krishna with you. It's a great happiness that I can see so many people chanting Hare Krishna. We're all very happy to go in the streets of Kanchipuram, as we've gone in the streets of together, we've gone in the streets of so many towns and cities together. So chant Hare Krishna, be happy, bring this chanting and dancing to others. Take the Harinam Sankirtan movement wherever you go, the various towns and villages and holy places. Chant Hare Krishna, give Srila Prabhupada's books. And this is what I'd like to see you do, because I know Srila Prabhupada will be pleased, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be pleased, and factually we all experience how we are pleased by doing so. So chant Hare Krishna and be happy, and rise early in the morning. We better finish now if you're going to rise early in the morning. And chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam. So also prasadam, it's time for that now. Again, I can say, well, you can take as much as you like, but it's generally recommended for early rising. Don't take too much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow morning for more chanting, dancing, and being happy in the selfless service of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.